Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hi, Bill Kristol here. I'm for Bulwark on Sunday. I'm very pleased to be joined by Tim Miller. A bit of a role reversal since normally I join Tim on Mondays, but I've got something I've got to do tomorrow morning. So I'm bummed, but Tim was kind enough to come on today. So thanks, Tim.
Hello, Bill. I'm going to run you through the ringer here. All right. I'm not going to make it easy on you as in the host chair.
Really? Oh, my God. Okay. You know, is it too late to change up people here? I'm talking to the people in the back room here in the control room to get a nice, friendly guest. Anyway, thanks for joining me. We both flew back from Minneapolis Friday after a couple of days there. And normally sort of like to move on to the news of the day. But it was striking for both of us and moving and interesting. And let's take a few minutes and I don't know what surprised you, lessons learned, depressing, inspiring. Give me your take.
Yeah, both. I came back with a cold. I'm not meant for that climate. So it's even more inspiring that people are out there, every day. I goofed in the way that I framed it on the night of the first show. When I went out there and said that, you know, when we initially scheduled our trip to Minnesota, we were planning on it being there to be in support of people that were in the middle of a siege, you know, and that we wanted to be there. And we talked to Mayor Fry, and one of the things he said is he wants people to come, it helps the economy, et cetera. And, you know, saw ourselves as like a, you know, whatever, like a support structure, giving people a night of warmth before they go back out into the streets. And then, you know, after Bovino left and, you know, the Trump and Homan seemingly backed down, you know, I kind of said on Wednesday night, instead, we're kind of in a more of a valedictory place. And that was wrong. You know, it just was wrong. And I think that, you know, being outside of Minneapolis, that made sense because I do think it was a political victory, right? Like, you know, just as in a war, there you have victories in the battlefield that don't necessarily yield victory in the war. You know, they had won the political battle there, right? Like Donald Trump was forced to back down, and that's not nothing, you know, because he's not. There's been very few examples of that. We can kind of count the times that he's been forced to back down here in the second term, and to have had the actual people of Minneapolis been the one that won that was significant and worth celebrating. That said, you know, the next day as we went out into the city, and you can only learn so much being out and about for one day, but talking to a lot of people, you know, what we learned was, you know, the intense raids like inside Minneapolis proper have dissipated, right? But they are just changing their tactics, right? Like the number of ICE cars coming in and out of their headquarters, the Whipple building, has not really changed much. One of the women I talked to standing outside the Whipple building, who goes there every day for 3 hours, she lives in Wisconsin, about 40, 45 minutes away on the other side of the border. She said that she was now starting to see agents in her community, you know, or more so than she had before. And so, you know, it just seems like they have not retreated, but just like retrenched a little bit and changed their tactics. And Minnesota in particular is still, you know, experiencing a lot of the stuff that they're experiencing at the very beginning of the operation.
Yeah, no, I was struck by that too. And the, well, as Homan himself said, the mass deportation effort is ongoing and still their priority, right? There's some tactical changes in terms of how they, where they go and how they get people, Carl, you know, snatch people, but they are snatching people, right? A little more in the suburbs, a little more in smaller groups, maybe a little more going to places where they know they can get them, sort of pick them off, as opposed to massive kind of raids and showdowns. But yeah, JVL made that point in the news in his triad yesterday, right?
Yeah.
They've changed tactics as yeah, no, it's that is a very important point, actually. Because I was struck coming back, I was at first at Principal's First yesterday and spoke and mixed and mingled a ton. And people were a little bit, I had to do exactly what you just said. I mean, people were a little bit too much. What a fantastic victory for the people of Minnesota, which it really was. And we'll get to that maybe in a second. And I really talk about how impressive what they did was and yeah. is. But yeah, it's not over there. God knows nationally, it's full steam ahead on deportation and mass deportation, don't you think? I mean,
it does. Mostly steam ahead. I mean, like they want to go full steam ahead. I think that they've realized that some of the elements of their tactics backfired. Again, like you said, all credit to the people of Minnesota for being out there in these streets. It is enraging and maddening that like it caused, it required deaths of their fellow citizens to make that happen. And that was another thing we did, was to go to the Good and Pretty memorials, which were, you know, just very, I don't know about you, but for me, just because I'd watched the videos so much, it was kind of easy for me to visualize like what exactly happened in these spots. But, you know, video only gives you, you know, whatever the width of the camera, you know, and the various angles, you know, so we got kind of a 360 view of both of them. But outside of that, you know, I didn't know a whole lot about like what the neighborhoods were like, right. You know, that they'd been killed. I'd been to Minneapolis a couple of times, but not, you know, I'm not deeply familiar with the city. And, you know, just to see in Renee Good's neighborhood looks like, you know, a lot of these sort of Midwestern neighborhoods that are kind of like the inner ring of suburbs right outside the city. You know, it's like you're basically in the city kind of. It's not like the cul-de-sac type suburbs, right? Mm-hmm. But it's the residential part of the city. And, you know, in the Pretty neighborhood, you know, we went to lunch afterwards at a Jamaican restaurant. It's just, it's another part of the enraging part of the whole thing was, like this, the premise that this was necessary because of some killer immigrants. Like both of these were safe neighborhoods. The Pretty neighborhood, if anything, was made enriched by just in our experience. Like there's a Vietnamese place, there's a Malaysian place, there's a Somalian place, there's a Jamaican place, right? Like, you know, it is an immigrant neighborhood, and that neighborhood was torn apart, and somebody was killed because of, like, some fabricated lies about the Somalians.
Which they then lied about what had happened to in both cases, right? I mean, so right. The lying was both before the event and during the event and after the event. I mean, these both the memorials to both of them are being kept up by citizens. There's no official designation that I know of. There's no, you know, plaque or anything. It's early, I suppose, for that. But very striking, people coming out and tidying up some and putting fresh flowers and moving placards that have been homemade. I mean, it really was, yeah. It was tough. I had the same experience as you. Well, it's just tough because this is a place where American citizens, and I don't mean to distinguish residents of America. If they had been non-citizens, it would be as bad, but were killed by U.S. government officers. And there's been no accountability. I mean, obviously, we've had incidents before in the U.S. where that kind of thing happens, and there's not always perfect accountability, God knows, but there's at least an attempt at accountability or, you know, sort of accountability, or maybe it's delayed. Here, one has no confidence that there'll be any. And maybe the Minnesota authorities could do something, but very hard when the federal government has no interest in it and isn't cooperating, right? So,
yeah. I hope the Minnesota authorities do something. I guess the other thing that we can speak about is on the first night, we had Tim Walz and Tina Smith there, the governor and senator. The second night, we had a school superintendent there. And, you know, it is worth mentioning, like, there's sometimes on this very channel, some complaints about the weakness of Democratic politicians in the face of what's happening. And I think that you saw, at least we saw from the ones that we were talking to, they recognize that they're thrust into this battle, you know, and I think that we've seen very strong leadership from Tim Walz. I had so many people come up to me after the Tina Smith interview and go, and she is more fired up than I've ever seen her. And, you know, maybe that was my wonderful interviewing, but I think probably what it was the fact that, like, they see what the time it is. Like, they recognize the moment being there. And I think that Governor Walz handled this very well. I think that, you know, I could even turn the notch up a little higher and some of this stuff, but they're navigating, you know, trying to serve their constituents and, you know, rallying and fighting. And it's a tough, you know, tough job.
Yeah, you know, I was on this panel yesterday at Principles First with former Governor McCrory of North Carolina, who was mayor of Charlotte for a zillion years and then governor and lost by very close race to Roy Cooper.
Republican.
2016 Republican. Then he went to No Label. So to be fair, not pro-Trump, I think one can say. I don't think he's been a leader of the anti-Trump resistance. But he still has sort of, and I said this to him publicly on the stage, so I'm like not saying anything sort of behind his back. He still has kind of Republicanish talking points. So he deplores what's happened and all that, but he also deplores the partisanship on the other side. When he was governor and mayor, he was able to work behind the scenes with everyone, blah, blah, blah. And it's sort of unfortunate that there's been so much just fighting publicly. And I really interrupted him. It was a little bit contrary to the civility spirit of Principles First and said, that's just ridiculous. Tim Walz told us, now I think he said this publicly, so I don't think I'm saying anything that he hasn't said, that he was on the phone, every day almost, to the White House Chief of Staff, Susie Wiles, trying to get them to back down, explaining the situation, explaining how dangerous it was. And she was sympathetic, but she can't control what happens, and she doesn't control Steve Miller, and she doesn't control Donald Trump. And he told a couple of stories, which were a little more off the record, so I won't, you know, of actually just dealing with her day-to-day. Tim Walz was doing his best, as he should have been as governor, to defuse the situation. But he also stood up when he had to. And I came away admiring him, not having known that much about him, honestly, until the VP nomination, admiring what he had done. And but again, it was just striking. And I get that we beat up on Pat McCrory, who was, to his credit, sort of later in the panel, came around a little bit. But the degree to which, you know, even non-Trumpy Republican world, I mean, McCrory, just to remind, in 2022, he'd been a reasonably popular governor, lost very, very close race to Roy Cooper. Runs for Senate in 2022, I guess. And he's the front runner by like 25 points because he's the former governor and all this for the Republican nomination. And he, but Trump comes in for his opponent's, what's his name, Bud, the guy who became Senate, some congressman. Trumpy congressman. They spent $10 million to throw it in by crypto types as well as Club for Growth and all these people against him, and he loses by 25 points. This has radicalized McCrory a little bit, so he's against Citizens United and against dark money, which I'm sure 10 years ago he was like had the normal Republican talking points on, you know, which is, that's good. But despite all this, despite that, he still had to sort of default in 2026, in his initial comments, to a kind of plague on both your houses, no labels, there's too much radicalism on both sides, a lack of civility.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Blah, blah, blah.
You know? Part of this goes back to the JL newsletter. It's just saying what is actually happening in Minnesota makes you feel crazy, kind of, right? The stories people are telling us, like the idea that they had to recruit doulas to secretly, you know, sneak into apartments and houses to, you know, help, you know, women through labor because they were worried that if they'd gone to the hospital, you know, they might be nabbed by ICE. Their baby might be nabbed by ICE. The idea that there are, you know, the masked agents of the state, like grabbing people, no record of them, then dumping them into the cold outside of the building, you know, and you have to have people like the Haven Watch folks that we were talking to, like, you know, bring them coats, give them a ride, give them a meal. And this is the kind of stuff that has not been happening in this country for a long time. It is a, you know, it's an unlawful federal siege on a city. And I think that if you're, whatever, not to pick up Pat McCrory, but if you're in somebody like that shoes, you know, there's just this wash of information that is coming all the time now. And it's hard to distinguish, you know, like this is very different. Like this is not just a typical partisan deal.
Right. And people don't, of course, want to see it, if I could say it, put it this way, how different it is, because it's more, they're more comfortable being in Wall Street Journal editorial page mode. Sure. And yeah. Say a word about it. I mean, I guess we were all struck, I think, by two different aspects of what the citizens and residents of Minnesota had done. The kind of confrontation with ICE, courageous, cost two people their lives, the use of the phones, the kind of standing up to them on the one hand, and then the, I don't know, civic humanitarian efforts to help the immigrants in so many different ways. And really, and that was done by people who are activists and have done this kind of thing a long time, but also by, frankly, middle-class people my age who I don't believe had been out doing activism much for the last 3 or 4 decades, who were volunteering to do the kinds of things you're talking about, bringing food to the immigrants. One woman, I did this dinner Tuesday night, she would meet immigrants, an immigrant mom would drop off her kid 3 or 4 blocks from the school. ICE was right at the school to snatch people. And then this other person, white middle-class person, would walk the kid to the school because that would hopefully diminish the chance that the kid would get snatched and certainly that the immigrant mother would get snatched. So, I mean, who's ever heard of such a thing in this country, really? I mean, except the civil rights movement in the 60s.
Yeah, actually. Jim Crow, yeah.
Yeah. And, there's both the confrontation side of what the Minnesotans did and the, I don't know what to call, civic side, let's just say, and
Yeah. Look, I think it was maybe my one. We keep referencing JBL's newsletter. You should go read it. It's at thebulwark.com because it was so good yesterday where he kind of talks about all of this in a way that only he can. My one quibble with him is he was like, all these people are doing this without impeding or confronting, you know, the ICE at all. And I was like, yeah, there are some examples of impeding and righteous impeding, kind of. You know, I don't think we need to color what is happening there, spin it. They are confronting the ICE officials. They are trying to get in their heads. I talked to some of them and said that, look, if this guy wants to, you know, a lot of times these constitutional watchers, whatever, they would confirm that a vehicle was ICE and they'd follow the car around so they could be there if they snatched somebody and record the name of the person, et cetera. And, you know, one of them said the guy would like get out on the highway and then circle around town and then he'd pull up to my house and stop. And, you know, that's an intimidating thing to do on the one hand. On the other hand, you know, basically the person I was talking to said, okay, well, that was an hour that he wasn't grabbing somebody. So, okay, that's better than nothing. Is that impeding? You know what I mean? We can quibble sometimes about the words on some of this, but it's certainly confronting. And I think they showed a lot of bravery there. And the other thing about the confronting is just the lack of violence. And to your point, we should shout out that part of the reason why I think it's a lack of violence is that the median age of the watcher is probably 58 or 62 or something. You know, it's definitely an empty nester crowd that's doing a lot. Not everybody, obviously, you know, it was mixed outside of Whipple, but I think disproportionately folks that, you know, are just by nature not going to be the types of folks that are, you know, whatever, breaking windows and, you know, doing some of the stuff that we saw during this George Floyd summer. And that said, that happened when they were they were being baited and agitated. Like Greg Bovino, at minimum, wanted violence, wanted it, tried to spark it. And so, the fact that they were able to handle all these situations, that two of them were killed, and still they did not live up to, they did not give the administration what they wanted when it comes to the violence, is really remarkable. And, you know, then obviously, like you said, I don't know if I have much more to add on the social side of it, but just the community members helping each other and the scale of that was really notable.
The signal text chains and so forth. I mean, really, had a pretty spontaneous. I mean, Minnesota has a more, as the sociologists like to say, whatever, civic infrastructure, social capital than many states. They just have a tradition of a lot of that. They and so they were some very active church groups. And so, certainly the last few decades, a ton of immigrants and a lot of, therefore, immigrant aid societies and, you know, efforts at churches to help. And so they were a little more set up for this than maybe an average state or community. But a lot of it was bottom up. I pushed people on this a little bit, especially this one dinner I had. You know, were you already part of a group that helped people? Was your church already organized to do this kind of thing? And you just had to morph it a little bit, not just, but you had to morph it a little bit into now a more activist version of it. And a lot of them said, no, they hadn't been on Signal before, you know.
Yeah,
someone
right.
told them, here's how you get on a Signal text chain, and suddenly they're on a chain with, you know, 60 people from their neighborhood or their, or sometimes their church or their community or nearby, and they're coordinating who's going to be where at what time and who's going to bring, you know, medication that's needed to a certain person and who's going to pick it up. And I mean, really, that part was very sort of inspiring, I've got to say. It made me wonder that all the talk about how we're depleting our social capital, we don't have the civic kind of virtues and community spirit we used to have. I don't know. I mean, this might be there may be some truth to that, maybe, but we certainly saw a kind of revival of it, or just a flourishing of it almost under very difficult circumstances in Minnesota that makes you wonder, you know, somewhat heartening about the future, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't know. Or maybe they're all full of shit. The people,
the sociologists, and I've always wondered about that. You know, my friend Bob Putnam was a nice guy, and I know the Harvard professor wrote that book. This is what, 25, 30 years ago, Bowling Alone. Yeah. It was like the Clinton era thing. In the old days, people bowled in leagues, you know, unions mostly, really. And that was kind of communal and civic. And now people just go bowling alone. And there is some, he had empirical data that these bowling leagues.
No, there is real data.
Well, wait, but what I'm going to say, but he had empirical data that these bowling leagues didn't exist. But I honestly, I don't go bowling much, but I think it was kind of coming back when our kids were in, like, you know, preteen and teens. So we took them bowling here. So no one's bowling alone. I don't believe that at all, actually. People were bowling with their friends. Right. It wasn't a union. It wasn't the UAW, league that was showing up with teams every Thursday night. But it was a little bit fake, I always thought, some of that, you know, atomization of society and your generation just like had no, I don't know, never did things together. Is that really? I don't think that's true
for my generation. I'm a little concerned about Gen Z, but I don't know. I'm going to coach in a basketball league after this. So we have a league still.
Yeah, McLean Little League is out of control in terms of, you know, active civic participation. A little too much from the parents sometimes, if you know what I mean. But anyway, it is worth being a little skeptical about some of that stuff. Any last words on Minnesota? We should talk about a couple of news items.
It covers it.
Greenland, well, it's really great. Speaking of, you know, doing things that we should, you know, that are admirable and impressive, Trump, whom we've criticized for cutting AID, abolishing AID and cutting back on all kinds of humanitarian efforts abroad, now he's going to help the people of Greenland with a hospital ship. So that's good, right?
This is the craziest thing. So here's the tweet that Trump sends last night. Working with the fantastic governor of Louisiana, my state, Jeff Landry, we're going to send a great hospital boat to Greenland to take care of the many people who are sick and not being taken care of there. It's on the way, President DJT, and then there's this AI slop picture of a hospital boat. It doesn't seem to be true.
Right.
The people of Greenland haven't asked for a hospital ship. We have two hospital ships that have been used before in emergencies. If you might remember it, Sandy, for example, the hurricane in New York where the hospitals were overflowing, we brought the ships up, you know, to help people. But both of those are in maintenance right now in Alabama, according to the military experts online. So those ships aren't the ones that are going. There's another story that maybe this is related, which is there's an American soldier who got sick on a nuclear submarine that was traipsing around Greenland, which is maybe a problem of its own. And ironically, that person was like put onto a Danish ship. Like the Danes helped, you know, provide assistance, even though we're menacing them, to the sick American troop. More details have to be to come on that. So like, it's unclear exactly what's happening. The whole thing though is just, I do wonder when the people, hopefully some of my fellow Louisianans eventually, you know, get really tired and upset of this. I mean, even if it were true, like there are plenty of people in Louisiana that need medical attention. Like this is like the most anti-America first thing I could think. They're cutting services to hospitals here. They're cutting, you know, Medicaid. There's, you know, people in certain parts of the state have to drive really long distances to get, you know, various medical services. Why is the governor of Louisiana involved at all in this? Like fake or real? Like I think it's fake, but even if it were real, that still is kind of an affront to the whole basic principle of what these guys claim they're for with America first, Louisiana first, et cetera. So I don't know. It's kind of with most things in the Trump era, it's like this like dark comedy, you know, but also, you know, also like pernicious at the same time.
No, you were struck by it. You texted me, let's talk about it for a minute. I agree. I think the first thought was so ridiculous that I didn't quite focus on the pernicious side of it, but it is pernicious. So now it is perfect embodiment of sort of Trumpism, right? It's totally fake. So far as we know, no orders have been given to deploy either of these big Navy ships to Greenland. I'm not sure that if the Danes didn't want them there and the Greenland didn't want them there, even what they would do except sit offshore. They have healthcare. There's a big hospital, it turns out, in Greenland, which is free because of the way Danish healthcare system works and is used. So it's both totally made up. It's gaslighting because, in fact, the Danes, being a good NATO ally, responded to a distress call from a submarine and took a U.S. sailor off that submarine and brought him to a hospital in either Denmark or Greenland, I'm not sure, where he's being treated, apparently, as we do. NATO allies do this, you know, pretty routinely for each other, and that's good. So again, it puts the lie to the fact that we have some big problem with Denmark and Trump. Maybe that's embarrassing to Trump or something. I don't know. And then, of course, it's a way of just, you know, resuming the kind of aggressiveness, I suppose, towards Greenland and the disdain for Denmark. Like, they need a hospital. I mean, look, these hospital ships are fantastic, a great achievement to have in times of war or times of Hurricane Sandy. But, you know, they'd be the first to say, for routine healthcare, they're they have hospitals, and if they don't have hospitals, we can build. You know, it's not like they're used.
They have universal healthcare. They also don't have that many people. I mean, there are fewer people in Greenland than there are in Louisiana, and there are fewer medical services needs. While we are having this, I just searched to see if there's any breaking news on this. The San Diego Union Tribune says it's a San Diego based Navy hospital ship that he's sending, the USNS Mercy. So we're gonna. Traverse the entire continent with a ship to send, that all costs us money. Like, we're to send these soldiers from San Diego, the seamen from San Diego to across the continent.
Well, it's literally, they're not going to
North Atlantic.
And they're not going to treat anyone because I don't believe they're going to, are they going to dock in Greenland? I mean, anyway, these ships, if people in the military would know this much better than I, but they're set up mostly to take care of military, you know, emergencies, right? And they're excellent. They're really impressive. They take care of the whoever's civilians or sailors who are wounded and so forth, and then they get them hopefully to a hospital on land. They're not set up for the kinds of things that the people of Greenland probably maybe could use, maybe not. I don't know how good healthcare they're getting. Maybe they could use more preventive checkups, you know? Maybe they could, you're right? I mean, that's kind of, right? And if we want them to do that, you know what? We got plenty. We used to have AID, an organization that provided assistance to local healthcare and expertise to local healthcare facilities and practitioners. But of course, DOGE destroyed that. So the whole thing is so such a lie. It is so insane and such a waste of money, actually, and such a performative bullshit. I mean, just even MAGA thinks that's great. Hey, that's great. He's sending a hospital ship from San Diego to Greenland.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The only thing I could possibly think of is that some of them do think it's funny that we're flabbergasted about it, and it's just as simple as that. It's like a troll, but I don't know. The governor of Louisiana has a real job. We have real problems here, so I don't know. You know, eventually the comedy and amusement of the trolling, you know, has to meet the reality of the type of governing that's happening in the country. We have a lot of problems here.
It is amazing that Trump made the sitting governor of Louisiana, like, put him in quote, in charge of this, whatever. He has no authority over anything, one should make clear. He can't order anyone to do anything, as far as I know. I assume the normal chain of command operates in terms of hospital ships and everything else. So, it's really, you're right. It is sort of both ludicrous, dark comedy, but also, I don't know, it's depressing and sort of menacing in a certain way, right?
Yeah, right.
This is the fourth anniversary of the all-out invasion of Ukraine by Putin, speaking of other things that are happening over in Europe. Yeah. And, of course, Trump has cut back the aid to basically nothing over the last year. The Ukrainians are fighting on, though. Pretty amazing, huh?
Yeah, I was talking to Michael Weiss about this on the Friday podcast. And, it is amazing. And I have to force myself actively to keep paying attention to it, to keep reading about it, checking a Kyiv post, booking guests who know more about it than me, because there's just this Groundhog Day element to it, right? Where it's like this, you know, we've been through for many years now. I mean, like the front lines have been pretty static, basically, for quite a while. We go through this period where, you know, it's like Trump's real estate buddy and Jared, and like they pretend like they might have a deal, and then Trump pressures Zelensky to do it, and then, you know, he acts like he might be getting his peace prize, and then Putin backs down, and then Putin breaks the deal, but Trump sucks up to him anyway, and then Trump gets mad at Zelensky for some reason, you know what I mean? And then we just kind of go around and around the same cycle over and over again. Meanwhile, though, they're fighting and dying, our aid for them is diminishing. And the winter has been really tough there this year. And I think it's been the worst winter of the war. And, Ukraine is fighting back still. And is doing tit for tat, going after Russian energy, outposts within Russia. That element of it is nice. And I think if you told people on this day 4 years ago that Ukraine would have only given up whatever 18% of the country, and that Zelensky would still be president and alive, and that they would still be fighting on bravely, and that they would have all this innovation of drones, military, materiel that has helped them fight back. And it's an amazing story in that sense.
It is amazing. And maybe to conclude on one of our favorite gripe isn't even the right word, but genuine horrifying aspects of the Trump here. This is an issue that Republicans we're mobilized on. We're vehement, we're strong supporters of Ukraine mostly. Even by 2024, when Trump was against further aid, what half basically of the Republicans in Congress voted for Biden's final aid package, and it went through and was signed. And now it's crickets, right? Once every, I mean, a couple of people, mostly retiring ones, pop up and say we should be doing more. Lindsey Graham occasionally says it's really important to do some stuff here, and then he never actually does anything. I mean, I don't know. There's so many examples of congressional Republican cowardice and disgraceful behavior. It's hard to rank them. But since this is one where they were on record the other way and nothing has changed on the merits in terms of Putin, Ukraine, Europe is doing more actually to help. It's a particularly disgraceful, I would say, in my view, case of total and thorough abdication of responsibility and even of decency by the congressional Republicans.
Can I tell? It is. The congressional Republicans are sick and pathetic, but you know who isn't? The American people still has some greatness in it. As we talk, the USA just scored an overtime goal to defeat Canada. Take that, snow Mexico.
Wow.
Just kidding. We love Canada. Take that, Canada. Anyway, that's what I
we
got.
We can still root. We can still root for the USA, even though Trump is president. It's a little but I thought actually the Olympics, just to close on the Olympians, who sort of, I thought, spoke well about this, a couple of them, that, you know, they're proud to represent the country, but they also wanted to say to the world that Trump's policies aren't the whole country, not even the majority of the country probably, and they're not sort of defending those. I thought that was very appropriate to say. MAGA was very upset by these.
I agree with that. And I was blown away by the figure skater continued to be out. When I got home, I immediately made my daughter and her friend, she's having a sleepover. We watched it all together. Alyssa Liu, you know, and her father was a dissident, Chinese dissident fleeing China after
he was there at Tiananmen
Square. Yeah. And, you know, that was something that gave us pride for a long time. And hopefully maybe that spirit can be reanimated a little bit.
A good note to end on this Sunday. So you're doing the show tomorrow, despite my...
I'm doing the show without you tomorrow. And we have a lot to cover. We have a bunch we didn't get to on this show. I've got some terrible Sam Altman audio about... They'll give you some dark sense where things are going on AI. Susan Rice getting bullied by Trump and Netflix. Iran. Maybe some Israel talk. JVL will be... It's JVL. He's going to be dark on various things. So... It's gonna be good. We'll see everybody tomorrow.
Good to have JVL tomorrow. It'll make it when I'm on. It'll make the times I'm on look sunny. So
yeah, exactly.
Sometimes I get these, you know, notes. You guys are kind of down today, but I think JVL will be a good, you know, like contract. You know, sets the bar very, very high or low, whatever the metaphor is on that. Right. Have a great show with JVL tomorrow. Everyone needs to watch that. Obviously, Tim, thanks for joining me today, and thank you all for joining us on the Bulwark on Sunday.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.